morning. So today is our family Sunday, which means normally I'll sit here on this step and invite kids to come forward, but I think we've got two. I knew it was going to be a problem today because we had to have Chips read as one of our children. Thank you, Chip, for stepping in. So I'm going to stand up here. You can come stand with me if you want, Al. But I'm going to stand up here, and I think I'm going to do a variation of a sermon that I did at 8, which is like the kind of adult version of a child sermon, children's sermon. I'm going to ask some questions, and you can jump in. Or you can give the sermon if you want. You don't think so? No? Okay. Nice reading job, though. So, I brought a little prop with me today. Kids love props, I guess. I'm looking at those guys back there. You all pivoted for me, right? Because I'm pivoting here. So this cup, obviously made to hold something, right? But right now, it's empty, and I'm really thirsty. Really thirsty. We all know what it feels like to be thirsty. What does it feel like to be thirsty, Al? Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep. It's not fun. No, sometimes it makes you really tired. I realize that sometimes in the afternoon I'm exhausted, and if I drink water, it actually wakes me up. So I'm not actually tired, I'm dehydrated, right? So water is really important. excuse me. Thirst is your body telling you a truth that we really need to be listening to. It's your body's way of saying, I need something, right? Usually we think of thirst as needing water or fluids of some sort, but our bodies can thirst for other things as well. We don't think of it necessarily, but it's a need, a desire. We might thirst for some sleep, a good night's rest. We might thirst for fresh air. What else might our bodies thirst for, Al? What else? What else do our bodies need? And sometimes we just feel a yearning for something. Love? Very good. Very good. Y'all can shout things out too if you want. It's putting a lot of pressure on Al here as my partner in crime here. Sugar? Sugar. Exactly. Exercise? Good. Our bodies have ways of telling us these things that we need, and if we don't get those things, what happens? We get cranky sometimes. Sometimes we get cranky or irritable. Does that ever happen to you? Yeah? I'll ask your mom. We get short with the people, right? We get short with the people around us. We need to listen to our bodies. And you know what? Our hearts get thirsty too. Isn't that crazy? It's true. Sometimes, I think what you said was actually a heart thirst, love. Love is a heart thirst. We need peace, we need rest, we need simply want someone to see us or to understand us, and that kind of thirst can be harder to name, but it's real. And that kind of thirst sits right at the center of our gospel this morning. Jesus had been in Jerusalem and was traveling back to Galilee, and they tell us that he went through Samaria. Now, Samaria was the shortest way from Jerusalem to Galilee, but most Jews in that time wouldn't have traveled through Samaria. Do you know why, Al? It was maybe a desert, but it was also the Samaritans and the Jews were enemies, had been enemies for decades. And so it didn't feel safe as a Jew to travel through Samaria. So you would go all the way around. You would add probably 2 days, what was already a 2 to 4 day walk. Can you imagine a 2 to 4 day walk? That's a long time. So it added time. But Jesus, so most people would have gone the long way around, but Jesus doesn't. He goes straight through Samaria, not because he doesn't want to walk that far, not because he's lazy, but he's not afraid. He welcomes those encounters with the other. He looks forward to it, right? So he's walking with his guys, and around midday, they decide to stop. They stop at a well. Jesus sits down. The guys go into town to get something to eat. Jesus needs a little quiet time to himself, and he sits down at the well. While he's sitting there, a woman walks up, right? Now listen to the details. The details about this woman matter. They tell us something about her. So she comes in the middle of the day when the sun is high and the heat is strong. Most people would have come in the morning or in the evening when it was cooler because, you know, they were going to get their water. They couldn't just turn on the faucet in the house. They had to take a big, huge clay jar and fill it full of water. Maybe. I don't know if that's exactly what it would have been, but I kind of picture it that way. Take a big clay jar, fill it full of water, and take it home. It was a big job and not something you would want to do in the heat of the day. So normally people came in the morning or in the evening. So the fact that she was there in the morning, I mean in the middle of the day, was significant. And she was all alone. And so what that tells us is it suggests she probably didn't feel very welcome when the others were there. Over time, she may have learned that it was easier to come when no one else would be around. So she arrives at the well expecting to be by herself. And we see her and we think, oh, she's an outcast from her community. We don't know why, right? But she doesn't feel welcome. So she arrives at the well and Jesus is sitting there. And I kind of imagine this moment with the two of them sharing the same space, but maybe not acknowledging the other, maybe not trying to avoid making eye contact. It's a little awkward. And then Jesus speaks. He says, give me a drink. Right? That simple request carries a lot with it. It's surprising. In that world, it says this, a Jew would not normally talk to a Samaritan. And a man would not talk publicly with a woman that he didn't know. Those were two taboos that he was breaking right out of the chute. He's doing both of those things. And by every expectation of that day, Jesus should have just ignored her. Which seems a little impolite, but that's what society would have told him to do. But he doesn't. He speaks to her. He acknowledges her. He treats her as if she is someone. As if she matters. And the first thing he does is ask something of her. What does he ask her? Give me some. Get me some water. Exactly. For a moment, the woman who had been pushed to the edges of her community becomes the one offering hospitality, the one bringing refreshment. That she is worthy to serve someone, right? Which is a big deal. The woman's a little bit startled. Why are you talking to me? She asks. You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Then Jesus says something even more surprising. He says, if you knew who was asking you for a drink, you would ask me and I would give you the living water. What begins as a simple request for water becomes something deeper, a sharing, an exchange. She is invited to offer him water, and he offers her the living water of God. What do you think that means, the living water? Kind of confusing, huh? Yeah. In that time, what living water really meant was moving water, like from a stream or something. And they're at a well where you have sort of stagnant water, right? So that's what you think of. But Jesus is talking about something much, much deeper. Regular water satisfies the thirst of our body. Our body is telling us it needs. But living water speaks to another kind of thirst, a deeper thirst of the heart and the soul. Right? It's the love and life force of God that reaches into those empty places inside of us. In the reading from Romans, it talks about all of these things that we go through in life and all of the difficulties, and God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit, living water. It enters into fills the empty places inside of us. And when those places feel empty, we often try to fill them by ourselves, right? We keep busy. We work harder. We tell ourselves we're just fine. Sometimes that works for a while, but the deeper thirst remains. Sometimes that's where the candy or the sugar comes in, or the screens, or all of the things that we do to distract ourselves from what's really, what that feeling, that need is inside of us. The people of Israel knew that need, that thirst. The story from Exodus reminds us that God always, always met people in their need. The Israelites are wandering in the wilderness. They're frightened and thirsty, and they're complaining, whining. God doesn't scold them. Did you ever get scolded for whining? I did a lot as a kid. Yeah. I was a whiner. instead, God, this water appears. The water comes from the rock, and it is that kind of God that we see at the well in Samaria. Jesus looks at this woman, and he sees more than her circumstances. He sees her whole life. He knows her whole story, right? We can make some assumptions about her story, but he knows who she is. And he knows the ways that she's been pushed aside and neglected. And still he doesn't turn away. He shows up for her. Instead, he offers her living water. Living water is what happens when someone finally stops treating you as though you don't matter. When someone sees you fully and doesn't walk away. That kind of encounter can change a person. And something does change inside of her. The gospel tells us that she leaves the water jar behind. Suddenly, the errand that she's on that day doesn't seem nearly as important. And so she goes back into the town that she'd been avoiding. And the woman who'd been keeping herself apart from everyone suddenly begins speaking to everyone she sees. Come and see. She tells them, come and see the man, the one who knew me completely and still welcomed me. Come and see the one who offered me living water. The person who'd been standing on the edges of the community now became the one inviting them in, and the people listened. And that's how this story moves forward. A moment of encounter becomes a moment of witness. Someone who had felt invisible now finds her own voice. We've talked about this, but Lent is a season when we are offered the opportunity or reminded to pay attention to what's happening inside of us. It's a time for noticing our thirst. So here's something I want you to try this week, a little homework. Each time that you take a drink of water, at home, at work, wherever you are, just pause for a minute. Just a minute. Notice the water. The coolness as it goes down your throat. The relief if you have a parched throat, right? When you talk about how great water tastes when you're really thirsty. Notice the water. And let it remind you to ask a simple question of yourself. What am I really thirsty for? You might discover that what you need is not only water, maybe you need rest, or maybe forgiveness, self-forgiveness. Maybe you need courage to face something difficult. What is it that you really need? What are you really thirsty for? And then turn that moment into a little prayer and just say, Jesus, give me the living water. Because the good news is this. God isn't frightened by our thirst. God will always meet us at the well. And sometimes the deepest thirst we carry is the desire to know that we are loved. Not because we've earned it, but simply because we are God's own. Cheers. Before. Sometimes you choke on the water. How old Al? 11. I tell this story all the time, but I was in the hospital one day, 11 years ago. I'm not crying, just joking, sorry. 11 years ago, and my mother was in the final hours of her life, and I heard the lullaby go off, and I walked over because I knew that you had arrived, and I held you in my arms. It was a very special day, so thank you for being with me here today. Amen.